540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It's been a week since the deadly wildfire swept across Maui. The death toll now up to 106 people, and officials are investigating what went wrong when the fires broke out.
In many instances, there was no water to pump. Fire crews had no water pressure. A utility official tells CBS News they ran dry when water leaked from fire-damaged pipes.
At some point, even the 911 system was not operable. So I don't know if fire consumed antennas or what.
Jeff Nguyen, CBS News, Maui.
Former President Trump and 18 co-defendants face a number of major charges in Georgia, including racketeering. CBS News investigative reporter Graham Cates on what prosecutor Fannie Willis has ahead of her.
This is a huge case with 19 defendants, allegations that cross the country, and they're well-financed defendants. Trump and his allies have already spent some $40 million on cases this year, and her office is the smallest of the ones that are charging him.
You and your coworkers ever get so fed up that you're not getting paid enough at your job and talk about all walking out?
This has been 3 weeks now. We've got zero applicants and I have zero prospects. I've called every PD around to get for the youngest guys out there getting into the game. There's nobody getting into the game.
That's Good Hugh, Minnesota Police Chief Josh Smith telling the city council just last month that they could not get prospects at $22 an hour and said he was tired of working 24/7. So he, along with his entire department, are quitting because they're not getting paid enough. A 13-year-old fell off a cliff at the Grand Canyon. His father says he's getting out of the hospital now.
I'm thankful that he's coming home in the front seat of the car instead of a box in the back end.
13-year-old Wyatt fell nearly 100 feet. It took about 2 hours for emergency crews to reach Wyatt.
9 fractured vertebrae, several broken ribs, broken hand.
But in about 4 days, Wyatt made an amazing recovery.
That's KPHO-TV's Michaela Castillo. Terrible story from a doggy daycare center in D.C. 10 dogs died Monday night when a sudden rainstorm caused 6-foot floodwaters to pour in. About 20 dogs were rescued, like Shannon Lynch's.
I'm just grateful that she's okay. I know that there are quite a few dogs that didn't make it.
Two Missouri mothers were charged because their kids missed too much school. One mom was sentenced to a week in county jail for her first grade daughter's 9 unexcused absences. The other was sentenced to 2 years probation for her kindergartner missing 7 days. The moms went to the Missouri Supreme Court to challenge the law's constitutionality, but the judges disagreed. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/...
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a 6-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables if once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sorry, I'm really riled up this morning.
Why is that a thing? How can that be a thing?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a thing.
Just what a... I want to swear. I want to swear so badly.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. If you've been following along with the months-long saga now of how are we going to pay for renovations for American Family Field to keep the Brewers past 2030. There was a bit of an update this morning. Molly Beck wrote an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that started like this. The Milwaukee Brewers could start looking for a new home this fall if state and local officials fail to reach agreements by the end by then on a taxpayer funded package to fund improvements to American Family Field required in the team's lease with the state. So it's a process that could lead them to boom towns of Charlotte, North Carolina, or Nashville, Tennessee. And the article goes on to talk about the deal that Evers had proposed in his budget proposal back in February. Talks about how Republicans in the legislature rejected that deal and have yet to introduce their own. They said at one point, Robin Voss said at one point that he was going to had a self-imposed deadline of July 4th. That is obviously gone. But they still have not. I have not read any proposals besides the fact that they want local governments to be involved in paying for it. So potentially bringing back the stadium sales tax and local officials. Not very interested in that. So where does the buck stop? Who is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? I would love to hear from you on this. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. And we have a special guest. No, it is not Wednesday. It is indeed Friday. But I know someone very near and dear to this show who feels passionately about this. And so Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you have feelings?
Lots. So many feelings about this.
Who do you think's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
The people who own the company.
The owners.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the state and the city and, you know, I think that we do get money. You know, there are economic advantages to having a baseball team, but I think it's the team that should be coming to us with a deal that says this is what we're going to do. A split of, you know, 60, 40, 70, 30, however the split is, if you want to get super technical, but we will provide this much, you will provide this much because you get this much economic advantage from it. We will pay because this is our team and this is, you know, but that's not it. It is local governments. It is the governor. It is politicians running around scrambling, saying, how do we do this? While the Brewers are sitting there with their pockets out going, we don't know what to do. Can you help us? Signed, billionaires. I think that the team is responsible for, if not the total upkeep, a portion of it.
But they don't own the building.
They don't own the building, but they reap the benefits of the building. So they do have a stake in this. It's not like they're like, well, we just show up. I mean the uniforms are washed when we get here. I mean, we don't know anybody. I don't even know the guy who mows the lawn. No, there is an economic impact and people benefit from it, but it shouldn't just be the taxpayers who pay for it all. We did that last time. Mm-hmm. We do it every time. Mm-hmm. I just saw a VR 3D rendering of the $2.1 billion Tennessee Titans stadium that's going to be built. Do you think the owners are going to pay a dime for that? No. It's going to come through tax money, through the state, through local government. And guess what? Not everyone likes football. Not everyone likes baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Jane before the show started, when I wasn't a baseball fan a couple years ago, I didn't care anything about this. People were like, the stadium tax. I'm like, it's a penny. Who cares? Now that I am a baseball fan, I hate this so much because I feel like it's a slap in the face that they're just like, well, you got to fix it. You got to help us. It's not up to you guys to do it. So we'll just, and if you don't do it, by the way, guess what? If you don't do it, we're going to go to Charlotte.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, do they have the leverage and the power that they don't have to? Because yes, there are other places that they could go. I mean, because in the veiled threat or in the very real scenario that the A's are leaving Oakland and they're going to Vegas.
The case in point, the best point is right here in our backyard, the Bucks. The Bucks were like, if you don't give us money for the Burrito Pfizer Forum, it looks like a burrito to me, the Burrito Pfizer Forum, we're going to take our ball literally and go home and we're going to go somewhere else. Said by a man whose son ran for office and between the two are worth a lot of money. So to me, this
even more now because he sold his stake.
To me, this whole thing of is crying wine, we need your help. And if you don't help us, we're not going to do anything. We're going to leave. I'm tired of it.
No, I know. But I'm saying, because in the alternative, though, if they have the upper hand, they being the owners.
Yeah.
That they're like, if you don't fund this, we will leave.
Yeah.
Is it worth calling their bluff and have potentially having the team leave?
I don't think so, honestly, because I think they don't care at the end of the day.
Who is it responsible for staying here?
Well, we are by de facto then, but you're asking me the question, who is? I'm going to tell you it's either the team or a mixed of the two.
Okay.
What you're saying is, who needs to save it then? We have to, because we have no choice. If we want to keep it, Tony Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers on his watch. So we have no choice. So we're basically being blackmailed into this.
I know.
This is highway robbery, extortion. So to me, they don't care about the team. If they're like, well, I guess we'll just change the colors of the team, change the name, turn it into Nashville, I don't know, the Twangers or Guitar Pickers, and welcome baseball to Tennessee. And
Spittoons.
The Spittoons, you know.
Oh, we're talking about who, we're asking the question,
spicy
who
today
is responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? Would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. We got Travis on the phone. Travis, who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin?
Well, hate to bring up a sports metaphor, but this should be a team effort.
Da-da-da!
In thinking the same way, the Brewers don't own the stadium.
Yep.
They lease that stadium. So when your furnace goes out at your rental home, do you put that new furnace in, or does your landlord put that new furnace in?
The landlord.
So, right. So the city or the stadium district is the landlord of the stadium. So they need to be partially responsible for whatever upgrades that stadium needs. That's my point of view.
Okay. And that's fair. I think.
So then further than that, Travis, because that becomes, how do we fund it? And so then do you have thoughts on what Evers' plan was originally versus a pending Republican plan versus going back to, where are you located out of, Travis?
I live in Greenfield.
Greenfield. So you're Southeast Wisconsin. So would you be okay, like, bringing the stadium tax back?
I didn't notice that it left. So, yes.
There you go.
We don't notice these things when they leave. We have them for a while, and everybody complains about them right up front, and then you forget that it's happening.
So your number one priority is that the Brewers stay, no matter, and you think that the government does play a role because they own the building.
Absolutely, the government plays a huge role, and the amount of money that we lose over the next 20 years if the Brewers aren't here is pennies compared to what it's going to take, what it's going to cost to get them to stay.
Good point. Thanks for the call, Travis.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to chime in, either text or phone. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Well, I'm agreeing with the rental situation, but also I don't charge my own, the service guy who's coming to change my furnace for a ticket to get into my apartment either. So I've been charged for a ticket. I've been charged for taxes. I don't even go there, watch for it, and I cannot even tell myself saying, okay, fine, I don't have maybe kids like some people don't do, but they do pay for schools, for all the municipal use, even though they don't use it because it's a future generation. We need to educate kids. We need to make sure that we have a educated next generation. What good do I get from the Brewers? Nothing. I don't have an interest in this sport, neither in the building, neither in anything like that, but I'm forced to pay for it. Besides the point, only because I live in Milwaukee. The rest of the state, which are receiving the money from it and having a share from it as we know it, and we did talk about it, they do absolutely nothing. And when we need money in Milwaukee, they put more taxes on the people who live in Milwaukee.
So you're saying you don't think it should be paid locally through taxes and it should be a statewide funding, or that...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. So as far as like, it's a responsibility of the state, not for the region.
Which was mentioned in the article about David Crowley saying this should not come from the county, this should come from the state because it's state funding. But David Crowley also then said, well, we'll revisit it and we might help. Because now people are feeling the pressure.
Well, and also now that the city is also getting a sales tax and there's more money to be gained from the city and the county by people going to Brewers games.
Yeah, I mean...
Thanks for the call, Karina.
I don't disagree. Honestly, I don't disagree with either one of them. I do think that there is a joint partnership that needs to happen. But once again, it can't just be the Brewers standing back going, we need your help. What are you willing to put into it with your money as owners, as executive, the whole thing, the organization of the Brewers that makes lots of money off of this? What do they put into it? Like, what is their financial stake?
I mean, this. I feel like this brings to a bigger conversation of just like the constant welfare we have from billionaires,
yeah,
and corporations.
They need help,
yeah,
and that they because they. It's also because they have leverage,
mm-hmm.
And but it's just the money that they are in a position to gain and not spend. That this is just another example of. But ultimately, I don't think anyone. No one wants to lose the Brewers. I don't think the Brewers want to leave. The government, obviously, as you said, Governor Evers doesn't want to be the governor who lost the Brewers. A lot of us, even for people who I think aren't necessarily huge, maybe not Karina, sports fans are like, there is a nostalgia there, right?
Yeah.
But like, who's gonna fall on the sword? Where is this going to come from?
We will.
All right. We're going to keep talking about this after the break. Who's responsible for keeping the Brewers in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 54. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 82. Tomorrow, mainly clear. Cloudy tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 63. Upper 70s Thursday and Friday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You know, as they are, and helps to continue to paint a real and honest picture. But politically speaking, this is a pivot point for this country to do something more than just stew on the 2020 election cycle, right? We're either going to, as Republicans, take our medicine and realize the election wasn't rigged. Donald Trump was the worst candidate ever in the history of the party, even worse than Herschel Walker. And now we're going to have to pivot from there, right? We want to win an election in 2024. It's going to have to be somebody other than Donald Trump.
That is former Lieutenant Governor of Georgia, Jeff Duncan, yesterday.
Even worse than Herschel Walker.
Youch.
Yeesh.
Oh, that hurts.
And that is, you know, I think I heard Dom and Crute talking about this a little bit on Devil's Advocates last night. It is a rock and a hard place for Republicans right now. As far as, you know, we're a week and a day away from the first Republican debate happening in Milwaukee. We will be there.
Yes.
Live. We're going to be brought, TBD of our show, but certainly at least starting with the Todd Alba Show into the afternoon, doing live coverage right from downtown Deer District across from the Fiserv RNC debate coverage. But that's a week from now, and Donald Trump will probably not be there.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because as, like, you're playing Russian roulette with a candidate and a former president who has now 4 indictments.
91 counts
against him. And, like, this is his schedule next year. Trump has 5 trials scheduled between now and May. Trump's scheduled court dates, including civil fraud and defamation suits, are interspersed with the Iowa caucus, or caucuses, and Super Tuesday, and, if Trump lasts as a candidate, the Republican National Convention. And so he is likely to spend a significant portion of 2024 sitting in courtrooms instead of on the campaign trail, and the man is going to be 78 years old. Like, he's 77 right now. I forgot when his birthday is, but it's June, right?
I think so.
Yeah. June babies, share a birthday month with them. And so it's like, but they also can't, because there's that 30% that will not, I can't quit you.
No, I'm not going to quit you. not never.
And it is, we're living through history, people. That is the truth. But we are talking about the latest indictment that came down at 9:45 our time last night. So all reporters were reminded of, you know, no one cares about your schedule, but your job is your job. And so people were up very late last night getting their reporting done and printed and published for us to be able to read through and comprehend this morning on what does the indictment mean, what's included, who's included. And my question for you is, does it feel as big as these roll out now, what it feels like every couple weeks or every other month? Does it feel as
momentous?
Yeah. Or does it kind of just feel like, well, yep, here's another one?
844-967-2789. Texter from the 414. I listened to Bulwark pollsters last week. They bemoaned that a big chunk of GOP voters have baked in all the indictments and they will not change their pro-Trump vote at all. Trump cult just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And we have Tom on the phone from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, ladies. I feel the same about this one as all the others. It's like, okay, let's do something.
Yeah.
My big question, though, is why is he not behind bars? Why? He is a dangerous man. I mean, they're trying to muzzle him, and he keeps on talking and talking, and he's got his base so whipped up. Something is going to happen with him and him always talking about how this is a witch hunt, how, you know, this guy is doing this, and I've been telling that other guy he shouldn't testify. He's breaking all these rules. How is he not behind bars? I mean, it would shut him up because he wouldn't be able to speak from behind bars. Why, if it was any one of us, especially like with the documents case or something, if they found documents in my shop, you really think I'd still be here talking to you guys? No. Why is he still out?
I know. And, you know, because the largest, not threat, this was yesterday, that Judge Tanya Chutkan basically said in no uncertain terms, if you keep, you know, talking, we will move this trial up because the more you talk, the more unlikely we're going to be able to have an unbiased jury.
Right.
And so, STFU. But that's it, right, Tom? Like, oh, he's already gone.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Tom. And I don't, again, lawyer of what, is it because it's so unprecedented and because it is like, what do we do with a former president who is running for president again? Because if we lock him up before he's actually convicted of anything because of the threat of potential danger, especially when you have 30% of the population thinking that this is a political witch hunt, like, does it cause more damage? Because we're walking through so many things beyond just the case, right? Like, it's our democracy. It is the, like, palpable tension of people creating a lot of violence, because we've seen it in the past. And like, if you don't think that the people way beyond my pay grade are trying to calculate all of these things in the balance, because things feel very delicate right now. And on one side, I agree with you as far as like what happens if he continues to just be able to run his mouth and
inspires violence,
Truth Social, whatever he wants to say. But also, what happens if you put him behind bars before he's actually convicted of anything?
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Texter from the 414. Let's not forget, of all the charges and accusations against Al Capone, it was tax evasion that took him down. All it takes is one charge to be found guilty to take him down. Very plausible. Paul from Franklin. We got a bunch more texts.
So we got to take another break, but we will read your texts, take your calls, keep this conversation going. There's a couple other stories I want to get to as far as other things you should know today, but we will definitely keep talking about Trump's indictment and also the Wisconsin connection, because there's always something. So we'll talk about a man named Cheese Bro, or at least that's what I'm calling him, when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. And you're gonna be mine.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The death toll is now 106 from the wildfires in Maui. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says they must protect the land.
I spoke with someone who is dear to all of us this morning, and that's one of our superstar heroes, The Rock, who also was sharing with me his desire to see this land stay in the hands of the people. We agreed completely on that.
Former President Trump faces 13 counts in the Georgia indictment on efforts to overturn the state's election. WSB Atlanta reporter Veronica Waters says the district attorney is focusing on racketeering.
She noted that this conspiracy reaches across state lines. There are alleged crimes listed in seven states and the District of Columbia.
An entire police department in Minnesota has resigned. Goodhue Mayor Ellen Anderson Buck.
I think we're all a little bit blindsided by it.
They quit because they weren't getting paid enough. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about last night's latest criminal indictment of Donald J. Trump and getting your reactions and feelings about it. Specifically, how you're feeling about it. Does it feel like just another here we go again? Or does it feel like a big one because of the magnitude of it? I feel like I've used that word a lot this morning, but it is a far-reaching case that is unlike
anything else.
The previous three. And just as a reminder, what the rundown is, so we have the case, the Manhattan prosecutor's hush money case, which is 34 counts against Trump, which I would say seems the most flimsy or the least.
The least of the cases. Yeah.
Then there is the DOJ's special counsel's classified documents case, which has 40 counts against Trump. Then there's DOJ's special counsel's election subversion case, which is 4 counts against Trump. And then the one that came down last night, Atlanta's prosecutor's Georgia election meddling case, which is 13 counts against Trump. And that is the one that is 161 acts, 19 defendants, 30 unindicted co-conspirators, and runs across seven states and D.C.
844-967-2789. Our friend Greg from Waukesha on the text line, just from a blind guy's perspective, Trump is getting what he wants. He's getting the immediate attention, even from your show right now. This is what he wants. I'm just wondering when he will actually be arraigned and told that he can never run for president again. This is the circus that Trump wants.
Well, and that's what's so I mean, because it's, do you not talk about it? As a show, do we just decide to not talk about it?
We can't not talk about it.
But I made that comparison last week when we were, last week when we said, it was like, do you want us to keep talking about Aaron Rodgers? Because this is a quick tangent, but Mike put on Hard Knocks last night. And I literally was like, I'm going to bed. I was like, I don't want to watch this guy in a Jets jersey be whatever. And like, talk about another guy who like, it's a little different scale as far as
a bit.
Danger to society, potentially.
Yeah. And democracy in general.
Democracy. But it was like a narcissist, Anyways.
844-967-2789. Texter from the 608. Were you aware that Wisconsin GOP chair Brian Schimming was in on the fake electors part of the scheme? I didn't know that.
I did know that.
That's the interesting part to me. All of the lowlifes involved in the scheme. That's what made me want to watch yesterday.
So we'll get to that because I know we have Jack from Merrimack waiting on the phone. But after we hang out with Jack, there I will tell a little bit more about the Wisconsin connections and a guy named Cheesebro.
Yeah, we love that.
At least that's what I'm calling him.
Also, John from the Falls. Good morning, ladies. I'm guessing the quickest way to get someone like Mark Meadows to roll over is to indict them. Also, the state of Georgia has taken their time before issuing these. The fact that they have 30 unindicted co-conspirators tells me they probably have way more than they need to convict all 18 of these people. John also thinks Donald Trump will be part of the debate. Chris Christie called him a coward and dared him to debate him face to face. I don't think Trump is smart enough to walk away from this challenge. He's never been able to resist free airtime to millions of people. We're lucky the village idiot is the one who decided to try and engineer a coup. And we'll go to Jack now from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. The problem that we've got in this country right now is that there are literally tens of millions of people who are cultists for this guy, and they will vote for him no matter what. And we've got people, young people that are looking at Biden and saying he's too old. We're not going to vote. Excuse me. You've got a would-be authoritarian dictator who is clearly a criminal. And that's potentially could allow him to become the president of the United States. Unless you want to lose the little democracy we have in this country, you better get out there and vote for the Democratic candidate. And that almost goes for all of the Republicans, because while these indictments involving the fraudulent electors have come down, I still haven't heard one single Republican, major Republican candidate congressperson or senator, none of those people has even mentioned this fraudulent elector scheme, much less disavowed it. They haven't called for investigations in Congress. They haven't called for indictments. And these guys clearly attempted to commit election fraud. And even many stated, about half of the states attorneys general in this case, I think in Georgia, it's just a local district attorney are starting to indict them. But for instance, Josh Call has, as far as I can tell, done nothing about this. And we've got to do something about these guys, too, because they were clearly involved in an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States. Yes, it was by quasi-political means rather than a bunch of violent crazies yelling, "Hang Mike Pence." But the point is, they were still trying to reverse the results of a legitimate election. We've got to do something about this, and we have to make a very, very clear statement, at least at the voting booth, if we don't charge these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jack. Speaking of Joe Biden, he is in Milwaukee today.
He is.
He's probably here right now.
Yep.
So we'll talk about a little bit more about that in the next segment. But we will be covering it live across Civic Media. So during the lunch hour, during the newscast and town call, we're going to have live coverage from the event. Hopefully hear some of our elected officials, probably maybe a Gwen Moore. Who else? David Crowley, maybe?
Tammy Baldwin.
Tammy Baldwin, maybe Mayor Johnson. We'll see who ends up speaking at today's event. And then Biden's speech is supposed to kick off at 1.
They rarely start then.
But as soon as his speech does start, we will also be covering that live. But speaking of Wisconsin's connection, Kenneth Cheesebro, it might be Chessbro, but for the sake of the Wisconsin connection, we're going to call him Cheesebro. Not a name that necessarily comes up as often as Rudy Giuliani or
Sidney Powell
or John Eastman. But Cheesebro played an instrumental role in he is indicted in the Georgia case, and he played an instrumental role in the former president's undemocratic push to remain in office. It was him who Eastman is widely credited for
coming up with this scheme,
but it was Cheesebro who first proposed the idea in a November 18th memo to Jim Troupis.
Ruh-roh.
A Trump attorney working in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yes.
And so in I saw this, I'm sure it's reported otherwise, but I saw it on Twitter this morning from AJ Biapour, who works for CBS 58. And he said the Georgia indictment mentions a December 2020 meeting with Kenneth Cheesebro and Brian Schimming, who now chairs the Wisconsin GOP. But at the time was not... At that point, it was Andrew Hitt.
Okay.
He's still, obviously, Brian Schimming's been a Republican in Wisconsin for a very long time. But Rudy Giuliani joined via phone, and the party chairman back then, Andrew Hitt, discussed this with the January 6th committee. He texted, "These guys are up to no good." Hitt told the January 6th committee he was referring to Giuliani advising the fake electors in multiple states to not discuss their plans with the media. Hitt, who was one of 10 Wisconsin fake electors, said he disagreed. The state party went ahead and issued a statement. While the Georgia indictment described Schimming as the Wisconsin GOP chairman, Hitt was actually the party chair in December 2020. Then why was Schimming involved? Hitt said Schimming was brought on to be a right hand to Trump's Wisconsin lawyer, Jim Troupis.
Wow.
Troupis was the recipient of a December 7th memo Cheesebro sent outlining the fake elector plan in Wisconsin. The federal indictment calls this the Wisconsin memo. The Georgia indictment cites an email Cheesebro sent Schimming on December 10th outlining state-specific fake elector language. Hitt and Schimming have maintained that they only went along with the fake elector plan because they were told the slate would only be submitted if Trump's legal Hail Mary was successful. Schimming stood by that reasoning when we interviewed him last month. So that, again, was from AJ Biapour, who is the political reporter for CBS 58. He's a wonderful follow.
He really is.
It was funny. Another tangent. It was during he got caught on camera on it, like looking at his phone. I'm sure he was taking notes, but he was on camera during the county vote for the sales tax. And he tweeted it out. He's like, "This is not a good look, but I hope by my reporting you can tell that I was really paying attention." Because he is a very good reporter.
Yes, he is. He gets lots of great interviews. He really does.
He does. So Wisconsin
had our fingers in this.
Always in.
There were fingers involved.
There's always some connection back to us. And again, I don't know. Because I think I don't know. For on the side of Josh Call, similar to what we said as far as like what is the balance that you strike, not just legally of what you can do, but also politically in a upcoming election year in a very purple state, in a place where you try to test the waters of where people stand, that like if you move on the electors, whether, you know, there's a bunch of people think that you should, and that's what's right, but what do you risk by pulling the trigger and doing it? And I don't know. I don't know if you poll for those things. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you measure and like weigh your options of what
ramifications.
But I have to imagine that instead of what they're doing in Michigan, that the hesitancy for Josh Call has political reasoning behind it on whether or not it is the atmosphere to do it in.
But is, I mean, aren't our situations pretty similar compared to Michigan?
As far as I can tell.
So I guess I don't understand why they chose to go ahead with it and we, at least up to this point, have not. If things on the ground are that much different in Michigan, maybe they are.
I mean, differences in attorney generals, differences in political climate. I mean, Michigan is potentially swinging a little bit more
blue
than Wisconsin is. Maybe risk aversion. I don't know. There's probably a lot of different things beyond just the details of the case. But quickly, I wanted to squeeze this in. I'm sure we'll learn more about them, about this race. But other things you should know around Wisconsin today. Brian Stiles going to have a competitor.
Paul Ryan's
yeah.
Clone?
So a Racine County Emergency Response Manager on Monday became the first Democrat to announce a bid for Wisconsin's first congressional district, held by Republican U.S. Representative Brian Steil, setting up a race for one of Wisconsin's only remaining competitive seats.
Wow.
As I would say the first district and the third district are really the two that
could go either way.
But his name is Lorenzo Santos. He's a deputy emergency management coordinator in Racine County and an officer of the U.S. Navy Reserve. And he said in a statement that he plans to formally launch his campaign at a brewery in Racine on Saturday. Previously, Santos was elected chairman of the Young Democrats of Wisconsin in June. And his biography on his campaign website notes that he graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 2013 and served on a guided missile destroyer before leaving the Navy in 2016. He subsequently founded an online news startup, led sales operations for an HVAC manufacturer, and got his master's degree in Homeland Security at George Washington University before taking a position with Racine County this year. So he likely maybe will be the only candidate. Maybe other people will join. But always good to know that there's at least
someone
running and that no one is running unopposed, because that is the worst thing that can happen is any of these seats, even when it feels like the mountain is high, that we have people running in every single race. So we'll have to learn more about Lorenzo Santos, but wanted to let you know that at least there's one person running against Brian Steil. All right.
And if he gets a chance, he can ask him about when he's going to release that videotape of Derek Van Orden.
Maybe AJ Biaport will ask him.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. We're going to take another break. When we come back, guess who got an invite to see Joe Biden and had to turn it down? I could give you two guesses. We'll come back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal.
my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 54. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 82 tomorrow. Mainly clear skies. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely, 63. Temps below average Thursday and Friday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered storms Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And the president is in town.
The president has landed.
The president, I'm assuming he's landed.
I think so.
He is in Milwaukee today. I think partially to advance his economics, Bidenomics platform as far as the good things that they've done for the economy. Obviously, it's probably somewhat strategic a week ahead of the RNC debate that is happening in Milwaukee next week. But we will, across Civic Media, be there, be live, at starting at 12, so right after this show. Our Terry Bell, our news director, will be there talking to folks, doing the news from there. Any pre-speeches that are happening from Milwaukee and Wisconsin dignitaries, we will certainly air. And then as soon as President Biden takes the stage, we will also air his speech live. And so it was funny because I was thinking about how often this happened last year, like in the lead up of like our so when our show was first it was what was the what were we like a year ago before we went to 3 hours noon whatever so before we were 11 to 2. And so we were always in the spot of like, if there was like special live coverage,
we got bumped.
And this like dancing game of like, how much do we prep for the show versus how much are we going to get bumped? And now Todd Elba has to deal with that. and so Todd Elba will be live, but as soon as Biden takes the stage, his show will cut over to the speech that's supposed to start at 1, likely will not start at 1. But I had a surprise waiting for me. This is a lesson of why you always check your emails and you have your email notifications on. It's annoying. As much as you try to have work boundaries and say, I'm done for the night.
I'm not looking at the phone.
I was checking my emails this morning and lo and behold, in the subject line, invitation, President Biden in Milwaukee, August 15th.
And who did this come from?
Well, this is what it said. So it said, hi, Kristen. I'm writing on behalf of the White House digital team. I know it's last minute, but we wanted to extend an invitation for you to attend President Biden's speech in Milwaukee tomorrow with one guest. The invitation is for you and your guest only. Please let me know if you have any questions and send me when the date is and an RSVP link. But arrival time and instructions, I think they wait until a little closer to the event. But you had to be there between 11:30 and 12:30. And I was like, well, my show goes until 12 and I will be in Waukesha. What if I am not there by 12:30? And she was like, well, they're pretty strict about these things. And I was like, yeah, I imagine the Secret Service is pretty strict about you can't just like walk in on your schedule.
Sorry, I'm late. Can you let me in?
But she did say, she's like, I'd love to keep you in mind for future events and hopefully we can give you more notice next time.
That is
So the person who emailed me is, her name's, she's the director of digital rapid response for the White House. So I was like, holy crap.
Does it have a .gov return?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Her email, I'm not going to read her email, right. But it's like whitehouse.gov, like the whole thing. And so that was Flattering.
Well, yeah, you're obviously on the radar, partner. Good job.
As far as Wisconsin potential people to invite.
That's really exciting.
That was very cool. But I also, it's also funny because it would be very cool if I got to meet him just because it's the president. But there is a part of me that was kind of like, I have stuff to do today. This is gonna.
What do you think? You are the president or something?
But hopefully that means I will be on an invite list for future stuff, because that would be, not a lot of people can always say that they've done that. But I know some of our other civic media folks will be there. And yeah, so who knows? Maybe we'll even get the president on the show in the next year.
That would really be something.
That would. Because I know, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris has done Earl's show and she's done other local radio stations shows. I think she's done The Truth and some other ones. So who knows? We got to aim big next year.
Yeah, for sure. I do have a question, though, and I'm going to put you on the spot, even though I think I already know the answer. If you had been able to go today, who would have been your guest?
I don't know. I probably would have thought of who could go with me. Would you have wanted to go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I figured you'd pick Mike.
I wonder if Mike... Yeah. I probably should ask Mike first and just be like, since you're my husband, do you want to go to this? I'm trying to think of how much he would jump at it versus also be like, why don't you take Jane? Because he probably would be that generous.
Oh, what a sweetie. Because I would not do that.
Who would you take? Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But I think all I thought was at first, I was like, well, shoot. Because we had guests today and we had too much lined up for the show for me to just like bail on the show. So
we got people coming up next hour.
And speaking of those people, DJ Shauna's here.
I'm really excited to talk to her.
I'm so excited. So DJ Shauna is certainly a local celebrity in southeastern Wisconsin, especially for people who are Bucks fans. She is the official DJ for the Bucks. But she's an author. She's a motivational speaker. She is at many events across. She's often one of the people you can see DJing an event, including the night market that's happening tomorrow night. She also has an event happening next week called Honechella that she is going to be talking about. But she is just a positive light and force in the Milwaukee area. And I'm so excited to finally get her on the show. She's hard to get during the Bucks season, as you can imagine.
Oh, for sure.
And so she will finally be here. That's going to be the first half hour of the show, of the next hour of the show. And then we kind of have it flopped. Usually we try to end with
lighter
stuff for the 11:30 segment. But, you know, that's okay. Today at 11:30, we're going to be talking to Michael Caldwell, who is a senior lecturer in psychology and senior staff psychologist at UW-Madison's Center for Law, Society, and Justice. And he's also an expert on juvenile offenders. Because this was actually back in May that I saw this article, and it's just trying to get him on has taken a little bit longer than I'd hope. But not shockingly, this is still a thing. The stat hasn't changed.
No, things have not changed.
Wisconsin, did you know that Wisconsin has the second highest percentage of prisoners who are locked up for crimes they committed as youth? So under 18.
The second most.
This after Louisiana. And our rate is double the percentage, like the average nationwide. So we're going to talk to him about why that is a bad thing, what has been done to try to curb that. Is it bipartisan? And a lot of stuff there. So that's going to be at 11:30. And then at the end, we're going to play a Woodstock trivia. So if you think you know Woodstock, the original Woodstock, we want you to play at 11:50. So stay tuned for that. And that's about it for the first hour. Good first hour. We're going to take a break for the news. Come back at 11:06 to hear DJ Shauna. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.